doing is charging everyone, black cabs, mini cabs, all drivers, a road pricing scheme.
In addition to the taxi trade providing a safe, regulated and efficient publicly hired service, they also make a substantial contribution to the UK economy. According to government statistics in August 2013 and supported by the London Chamber of Commerce in 2016, they found that the London taxi industry contributed to the UK economy over £150 million on diesel and lubricants alone. On top of that, £25 million on spares and accessories, £10 million on tyres, £12 million on insurance and £5 million on batteries, not to mention the millions spent on advertising in and on taxis themselves. It was also estimated that UK residents nationwide spent over £2 billion on taxis. As well as the taxi industry's contribution to the economy being significant, it does not receive any public subsidy and as such is entirely self-financing. The significance of this is evident when compared to other forms of public transport. And information from the Office of Rail Regulation has confirmed that the railway industry received direct rail support of over £4 billion from the government coffers. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that they don't want you, I, or any other sole trader to be in profit. It seems that they only consider you as a public hire service if you're taking a subsidy, money that is, from central government. At the same time, it tells them that you are a money-making machine, that there is money to be had. And so what better excuse to make life hard for you, exclude you from certain areas? And with TfL's e-bus on the horizon, who is to say that Camden, Westminster and Islington don't also have their eyes set on their own public hire, on-demand, door-to-door service? Well, that would be in direct competition with a licensed taxi trade, wouldn't it? So what better way to give themselves a head start by excluding you from certain areas? If they take away the infrastructure, then we cannot uphold our statutory right to ply for hire. And if you don't think that's worth protesting, then what is the point of being a taxi driver?
They said it couldn't be done.
Oh boy, were they wrong.
London Taxi Radio.
London Taxi Radio. The station just for cabbies.
Taxis contribute over 20% of the NOx road transport emissions in central London, and from 2020 will be the largest source of road transport NOx in central London. Now look, I can ignore the science, I can ignore the science and ignore the experts like some would like us to do.
All I can say is it feels like a mightily long time, doesn't it? It really does. I know there's been bits and pieces coming through, but nevertheless, it's been a very long time since we connected up, hasn't it? But we're here. It's the new year. We're bright and breezy and ready to go. Right from the off, this year has been filled with lies, lies and more lies, hasn't it? Well, the ITA said they would out those responsible, and it didn't take long, did it? We've also got Ursula and Myrna. They'll be at it, showing us the delights of their London. And there's Jim Thomas from Taxi Leaks, giving us the backstory to all those news headlines. And we'll talk about what's been happening recently. That is, well, we've got the pending demonstrations coming up on Monday. That's Monday the 21st from 4 p.m. onwards. Now, that could change. The times could change, but they're starting off at 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. and ongoing, depending what the outcome is. We're also looking for a definite answer from Mike Brown, aren't we? Because of Thule Street. We got a tentative answer, didn't we? But we are looking for a rock-solid answer from him. We was told that it probably would be about a week after the demonstrations. Well, it's been over a week, so I think we're entitled to know. And I'm getting a bit sick and tired of this place of uncertainty, of not knowing. And I think it's time we put our foot down and said, come on, you're not messing us about like this. Let's see if you want us blocking the place up, or are you going to let us get on with business? Because they seem to have no regard for business, do they? And that's my big issue with it. It seems they have regard for everybody else's business, and everybody is considered a stakeholder in yours and my job, but you are not considered as business. Well, it's about time we started demanding we are treated like business, and keeping us in this place of uncertainty is nothing more than denying me and you and every other taxi driver out there our democratic right to earn a living. I mean, the city beggars belief, doesn't it? Restricting trading, can you believe it? The historical nature, the historical concept of the City of London, and they are now restricting trading. We shouldn't be putting up with it, but I'll come back to that because there is also UTAG. Now, I went to a meeting on Tuesday. It was for what they would consider stakeholders, but we wouldn't necessarily consider them as stakeholders, but they were proprietors and fleet owners and businesses within the trade and one or two driver advocates. And I've got to say this, I've never been so reassured as long as I've been a taxi driver, and that's about 18 years. But certainly for 5 or 6 years, why this mob have been in the game, this ghost taxi fleet have been in the game, then I have never been so reassured about something. And we'll talk about that because it is, of all seriousness, this is an initiative without question we should all get behind. This, believe me, is a game changer.
So it's time to break out the big guns.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
I am trying desperately hard for this not to turn into an 80s fest. At the top of the show, the theme tune, of course, Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Two Tribes. After that was the instrumental version of Billie Jean. Isn't that fantastic? And now, of course, a little bit of Alexander O'Neill.
I've been a member of the London Assembly for 9 years now, and my understanding was that Mayor's Question Time, the process was that members come and they ask the Mayor questions and they receive answers. After that exchange, I now think that the process of Mayor's Question Time is that you will only answer questions that are subject to the Freedom of Information Act. Is that correct?
No.
No? Oh, OK. Because starting your answer boasting about being so transparent, I don't think there's a single person sitting in this room that thinks that exchange was transparent. The limit for responding to a Freedom of Information Request question is £450, and the average cost, and the people have looked into this, for responding to a mayor's question is £70. Do you think it's reasonable use of taxpayers' money to not answer Assembly members' questions?
There is a very
and ask for them to put a question in through FOI.
Shall we begin?
That was an interaction between a member of the GLA Conservatives and Sadiq Khan. Now, everybody knows what I think of the GLA Conservatives, and there's absolutely no love lost there. But on this, he's got Sadiq Khan banged to rights, hasn't he? Because Sadiq Khan isn't answering any questions. And it beggars belief, really, that this person who came in on the back of Boris Johnson, who I thought actually had too much autonomy, he wielded too much power, and I thought, you know, this is a position that has been abused. But it seems like Sadiq Khan has surpassed him, because the disregard he has for, well, not only the GLA Conservatives, but the whole of the GLA, the London Assembly there, and anybody who dares ask him any questions. And we are at the coalface of it, aren't we? Because, like I said, back in the day, most of us voted for Sadiq Khan on the back of seeing Boris Johnson as the devil incarnate. And I'm not saying he wasn't. But I thought when Sadiq came here, he would be a breath of fresh air. And initially, you could say he was. And then I thought Sadiq Khan can't do anything. Whereas I thought Boris Johnson had too much control or too much autonomy, I thought Sadiq Khan was under the thumb of TfL. And maybe Boris Johnson always was. I mean, when I look back at the meter case, Boris Johnson left it in the hands of TfL. And they instructed Justice Ousley to be the single judge on the case, didn't they? Which was a crock. He was always going to rule in TfL's favour, wasn't he? But I thought, well, maybe it is TfL, because what you have is Transport Trading Limited, and you have London Buses Limited. And London Buses Limited is the big management company of all these bus franchises out there. So they look after all that. And I thought, well, Sadiq Khan would go over there and say, oh, I want this. And they would say, well, what are you doing here? You're chair of TfL, that dinky little setup, that little setup that isn't an entity unto itself. But you're chair of that, and you have nothing to do with us over here. This is the private wing of TfL. This is private enterprise. You have no say in it. That's what I actually thought. I thought they're not taking any notice of Sadiq Khan. And whether they did or didn't, Sadiq Khan seems to have assumed the same position as all these appointed figures, all these senior appointed figures on TfL who feel they're not responsible to anyone. He seems to have taken their stance, doesn't he? And he's not going to be forthcoming with any answers. He's not going to compromise, and he's not going to see that the taxi trade has a point. And the taxi trade, let me tell you this, the taxi trade has one hell of a point. The problem here is we're going to be entering into a row beyond anything we've ever known, because we have our direct issues with, you could say, the local authorities, which are actually on the back of what's happening at City Hall, implementing these restrictions on us. We have that argument at local level, but we also have an argument that is taken on board cross-party and is a massive political football at the moment, and that is the environment. Now, we're not just taking on the local government there, are we? We're taking on the incumbent government and the opposition and peripheral parties, because they all are having to jump on the environmental issue. Now, I'm all for environmental issues, and I'm all for clean air, and we sit in diesel all the time, don't we? It's at our level. And so what is really funny, I mean, Sadiq Khan has said, we are now toxic. The vehicle, the compulsory purchase vehicle that we have to buy because we haven't had a choice. And it is funny. What I find very interesting is that he waited until the last of the vetoes, the new vetoes that were on the road, the Mercedes vetoes, he waited till the very last one was sold, didn't he? Until he released this information that we were now going to reduce those taxes, those Euro 5 taxes. Remember, Euro 5 is legal and it meets all the criteria to be a licensed taxi. Now, he waited till every single last diesel vehicle was sold until he released this information that the age limit on taxis would be reduced to 12 years. Now, that flatlines resale, doesn't it? That absolutely, in one fell swoop, wiped £50 million off the taxi trade's value. That's what it did. It wiped £50 million off it. Now, you wouldn't mind so much. We should mind, because I believe that's a breaking of a long-term standing agreement with the trade. But you wouldn't mind so much if there was a deal forthcoming, would you? You wouldn't mind so much if they said, you will have access all areas, no restrictions, you will ply your trade like you always did. We should be able to do that anyway. That's been taken away from us. But you wouldn't mind so much if there was some kind of deal being done, but there isn't. And that's the big deal here. So you are going to have the resale value of your taxi reduced because the age limit is being reduced to 12 years, and you sure as hell know that's a done deal. But there's nothing forthcoming. The boroughs, on the back of TfL's subsidy that they should get turn all their areas into mini Hollands, and they will get money, incentives to do that, on the back of that, they are restricting taxis. So not only is your resale value of your taxi being reduced, you are being restricted from certain areas. So where is the incentivization to buy the new ULEZ vehicle? Surely they should be incentivizing us, and this way they are not. Now, they have come up with a £10,000 grant, which is additional to the £7,500. That's only at the moment for the first 250 potential buyers, if they apply for that. But that is not the cost of the resale value. If you have just bought a Vito, Mercedes Vito, or a new TX, perhaps a 17 plate, then you are looking at the value of those cabs being upwards of £35,000. Now, that's a huge loss, because they would be offering something like 17 and a half. Now, don't get all Diane Abbott on me. I know I'm dyscalculus, yeah? So I don't need that criticism, but everybody can see it's a huge loss. I just think, if we had been stronger, and you could say been more relevant with our representation, then we could have made a lot of deals along the way. We are now very late in the day, aren't we? And so they know they can mandate us, a bit like the credit card setup. They can mandate us and there will be no deal. What we need now is resolve, more resolve than we could ever know.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
We protest because our representatives have hit a brick wall with the authorities. On this occasion, it's because London is being taken away from us.
The reason drivers need to protest is because if they don't, they may not have a job next week or the week after. They're being marginalised by TfL and by the local council. They're being forced out of their own job, out of their own trade, after working so hard to attain the standards set by the authority. The authority is now pulling the rug from under their feet.
I'm just going to read you something here, and you'll recognise the figure stated because they've been bounced around a lot by environmentalists, not least Sadiq Khan recently. And Tony Frew, who is a respiratory physician at the University of Brighton, has kind of debunked these figures because he was party to the research. And he says Sadiq Khan's figure on pollution deaths is a zombie statistic, and it's simply not true. Figures have been released claiming pollution causes almost 40,000 premature deaths a year in the UK. Air pollution is also said to cause a total of 340,000 years of lost life in the UK. We hear about these figures, don't we? 40,000 certainly, and 20,000 deaths are attributed to London alone, aren't they? Anyway, cracking on. Figures originated from a Royal College of Physicians report, and Mr. Khan has cited the figures in announcing measures to cut pollution here in the capital. And Tony Frew, the respiratory physician we were talking about, told Julia Hartley Brewer this merely is an example of a zombie statistic, meaning however much you try to kill it, it comes back, and it simply isn't true. He explained that the 340,000 lives a year doesn't equate to real life, and in reality, each person loses about 3 days from their lifespan as a result of pollution. He went on to say that the 40,000 deaths a year figure is a guess using information about two pollutants which overlap. He added that pollution levels are illegal because we made it illegal, not because they are dangerous. That's all very well, isn't it? And to roll this out as a nicety would be one thing. But when you're taking 23,000 lives, and on top of that, you have to consider their families also. When you're taking their lives and applying restrictions that they will be put through turmoil because of it, then what you are being is immoral. And to every environmentalist out there who are taking on board these disingenuous figures, then you are all immoral, and your ideology is no better than the worst of communism, no better than fascism, and no better than an en masse onslaught onto tens of thousands of people. No one should have to be a victim of this lie, and that's what it is. So you all need to get your heads together and make reparation, because wars are created on the back of this lack of transparency and this blatant outright lie. And all these authorities that think they can restrict a public service that we are offering, that the public want, because the local authorities might not want it, the TfL might not want it, and even central government now might not want it. But as is proven, the public want it. And if you are rolling your policies out on the back of a dangerous lie, you're all going to get called on it. Believe me, 21st of this month, Monday, at 4 p.m. is the start.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Saved and earned, but all of it's gone to burn. And you burned, you turned it right, you know you emissions not your cup of tea.
Then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
Thought you might say that.
London Taxi Radio, the cabbie's choice.
Okay, I've got to quickly give you a heads up here because there is a little bit of fruity language in the next, well, segment. I was going to play this over Christmas, but it didn't seem right. But it is a Christmas song, and for me, apart from John and Joe's masterpiece, of course, or two masterpieces at that, it was the best song going. So I'm going to play it, and I was going to bleep out the bad language, but it took away the essence of it, and you'll know when you hear it. But I thought you might have passengers in your cab, or even your vulnerable, young, innocent, newborn teenagers around you. It isn't anything we haven't heard as cab drivers, and certainly no more than what's been said in the school playground, but because of iTunes, I've had to give you a heads up. So that's enough time, I'm sure, for you all to scatter away, but it is courtesy of the Southend News Network, and it's called Hitler Invades Britain via the Dartford Crossing. Here goes.
Junction 31 of the M25. We've not moved an inch. I don't know why I drive. The fucking bridge is shut. The wind's too strong for it. I'm late for work and I must pay £2.50 for this shit. Oh, Dartford tolls, Dartford tolls, 50 all the way. I left home Tuesday lunch and now it's Saturday. Oh, Dartford tolls, Dartford tolls, he said it would be free. Obviously, that was bollocks of the first degree. You took away the booths, those coin baskets were great. Watching some French guy throw a miss made it worth the wait. You said it would be easier, but it's a fucking joke. If you commute across the Thames, then you'll be stony broke. Oh, Dartford tolls, Dartford tolls, tailback paradise. Just go round the other way, it's really shit advice. Oh, Dartford tolls, Dartford tolls, the new system's a farce. The tunnel bridge, the plan 1-2, you can shove it up your arse.
Order! Order! You are an incorrigible delinquent at times. Behave yourself, man!
London Taxi Radio.
This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. As we try to digest the news that Leon the Liar Daniels is to receive an OBE for his work trying to kill off the London taxi trade, we receive word that TfL registered Uber drivers are stealing so much work in the town of Guildford, regular taxi drivers are giving the job up. As the work is being dispatched illegally out of their licensing area by the company, isn't this a breach of the terms and conditions of their probationary period? In Canada, Uber are in more trouble again. as their arbitration clause is deemed illegal by Ontario's Court of Appeal. The clause states that any dispute between driver and passenger must be heard in the Netherlands rather than in a local court. After the mayor announced that taxis are to be banned from Tottenham Court Road, the Independent Taxi Alliance, the ITA, have announced they will be holding a series of weekday afternoon protests on Tottenham Court Road, 4pm till 8pm, starting on the 27th of this month. The protests against the mayor and Camden Council are planned to run indefinitely.
We apologise for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use and available across the whole of London. Funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
Struggling through today's show. I've got a really bad cold. You know, I think everybody's got one though, haven't they? And it is a real stinker. If you get it, it really knocks you about a little bit. But there's a lot of initiatives at the moment, isn't there? And a lot of initiatives generally require money, don't they? And that's going on. So, you know, kind of dig deep there. They are good and it is timely. And just the ad for Taxi App there. It's easy to forget things like Taxi App when there's a lot of other things come to the surface, isn't it? And I know everybody's got to, you know, knuckle down, chew the carpet a little bit and pay the bills. But if you can stretch to these initiatives, they're all good. And Taxi App and London Taxi PR, for that matter, all very good and all to do with the future of the trade. Believe me, they are the future of the trade. They don't involve litigation and taking people to court, but they are good stuff to get behind. And I can't, you know, I'm absolutely sure Lee from London Taxi PR must catch up with Lee at some point. Don't catch up with him enough. But I know they've got a new campaign going. And Taxi App, the lads on Taxi App, I've got to say, and I always say it, I mean, they are tireless, but they've been doing it for 2 years. It's still the original bunch of lads. You've got one or two others that have come into the admin, which is necessary because it wouldn't get done otherwise. And they struggle. So people are saying, I'm not getting an answer. It's because there's just a couple of them really struggling. I mean, they are putting in something like 20, maybe even 30 hours above their working week because they are not being paid for it. So that's what we've got. We've got Taxi App really trying to keep it going. And, you know, it might not always be there. I've got to say that. It might not always be there. And when the time comes when we really need it, because the trade is weakened considerably if it doesn't have its own technological structure. Believe me, we don't know where technology is going to take us, and, well, even tech people don't know where technology is going to take us. But if we're not on the first rung of the ladder, we may not make it to the second. So, believe me, it is about efficiency saving, and efficiency saving is deterministic of future traffic policy. So, get on board, support everything, and be in a very strong and powerful position, and try and reclaim back some of what we have lost over the years. But I will be coming on to you, Tag. But we've got the ordeal of enduring Ursula and Myrna and their alma, well, that gentrified area of Kentish Town.
Hello, everybody. Here I am with my beautiful friend Ursula.
Hello. Pay you later.
As you can see, a little bit posed when I said beautiful, but...
You're such a poser. You're a complete poser, actually.
Am I?
Yes.
I would never say I'm a poser. I'm a poser. I'm not poser.
You are. Look, just get on with the podcast.
Okay,
please.
She just... You see? Do you know why? Because we are under pressure from Sean Paul Day. Future mayor of London has put us under pressure. What do you think about Sean running for the mayor? Because I've been nagging him now for
I think it's a really, really good idea because he'll then have less time to annoy us.
Absolutely.
It'll keep him busy in another sphere.
Absolutely. He's been very, very harsh to us, wasn't he, Ursula?
Yeah, the man's a slave driver.
I know. Anyway, we are now around King's Cross area again, but just a touch of a canopy market.
Yes, apparently. I've been to Canopy Market, but I didn't know it was actually located in what is the historic West Handyside Canopy, which is just off Granary Square. Did you know that?
Yes, every cabbie would know where the Granary Square
is.
I'm sorry,
you know, some of us haven't done the knowledge, I'm afraid. We are a lesser being, and you've got to remember that us lesser beings exist.
Don't worry, I do love you just the way you are.
Thank you.
Even, you know, with your
less extensive knowledge.
Yes.
You see, you can't even get a word out since you haven't been drinking.
I know. I'm going through a very difficult time, people. I haven't had a drink now. No, actually, I could say I had last 2 weeks I had a drink only on Saturday.
Anyway, back to Canopy Market and less about Myrna's alcohol problems. Canopy Market has top quality artisan food.
Yes. Yes.
Have you anything more to add to that? As you see, her mind is constantly on the booze. She forgets about the artisan food.
Artisan food. And they had a very good... Ursula, you wasn't there, David, me, but it's a fabulous, fabulous... they are not obviously always there, but it was a fabulous vegan store. You would absolutely enjoy it. And I came last minute when they was closing and they put lots of food for me for free. Oh. For free.
They have huge amounts of sort of different stores there. They've got places like Yvette's Chocolates.
Yes.
They've got... Nabby London, which is sort of Harry, got little things like Harry Potter glasses and minimalist jewellery. So it's not just food.
Yvette's Chocolate, Rada, I think, told me. I'm pretty sure I'm going to show you. Send me a message. I think that's my friend from Croatia.
They've also got music. They've got Cafe Manouche with hot gypsy-like jazz music.
It's hot
and spicy. So really, it's an all-round experience.
All-round hot and spicy.
It's not just about... chomping on food, that's what I'd say.
Yum. Anyway, now we're going to go a little bit to Kentish Town. You know, I'm going to leave Canopy Market.
So whereabouts in Kentish Town are we going?
We're going to go to Pizza East. As you know that I love pizza. It's in the Highgate. It's just, I think it's a chain of restaurant, but I think another very good one, just like Franco Manco. Very good dough. For me, everything is about the dough with pizza.
I didn't actually realise it was a chain. It was so good. It had that feeling of being sort of a one-off. But, it's really, really nice in there.
Yes, we've really enjoyed it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to a place of nudity that maybe majority of you didn't even know it exists.
Well, it's called a naturist place, isn't it?
Yes, we once went there when we were young. We wouldn't dare to go with our bodies now in this state.
Well, it's called Rio's Naturist Spa. Speak for yourself. I'm still firm but flabby.
She was always firm with me. Yes, you can go there, you can take your clothes off and you can wander around naked if you like.
If that rocks your boat. But it's actually quite nice rooms in there, you know, with sort of, you can sit in a nice sort of warm pool area, and you can go in the sauna and that kind of thing.
Yes, you know, you can go into sauna, you can go in the swimming pool, or you can come to that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Totally, of course you know.
It's got good jacuzzis in there. It's got a steam room. It's got little massage rooms in there. You know, it's a bit kinky, actually, really.
Yeah, it's a wonderful little place. It doesn't float everybody's boat, I would say, isn't it? Some people doesn't like to walk around.
Unfortunately, I think it floats a lot of people's boats, though. Those boats need to be floated, and that's where people go for a bit of boat floating.
Yes.
You know.
Anyway, that was us. Not that we're going to Rios. We did. Sean was in the chariots, and we thought...
Well, Sean would love him there, actually.
Oh, I think he would, yes.
Sorry, Sean.
we're gonna pay for the membership for him. Yearly membership.
God will never see him. He'll never stand for me then.
Exactly. Anyway, that was all from us today, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Radio.
So like I said earlier on in the programme, that I was fortunate enough on Tuesday to be invited to a UTAG meeting, and this was a meeting primarily for what they would consider stakeholders in the trade. We, like I said, wouldn't necessarily consider them as stakeholders, but nevertheless they are proprietors and fleet owners and those with businesses that are intrinsically linked or involved in the trade itself. And I've got to say, before we go on, this was like a meeting like no other. Now, I know we've been to meetings before when there's been lots of energy, but this was different because the lawyers from Pump Court were there and they were going to give us a talk and give us their handle on things and the perspective they have and what route they was to go into this. And like I said, I came out of there feeling mightily reassured. And how often can we say that in the trade? And it is a game changer, because when you think about it, We've never really had representation, have we? The only representation we have was this weird position that TFL takes when they say they're being neutral and tend to go in. And as with the meter case, they defended the meter case better than Uber defended it themselves. And of course, the relicensing case, where again, they was neutral and yet didn't seem to really put up much of a defence against them being relicensed. And they really should have, because evidently the relicensing of Uber was unlawful simply because it wasn't based on granting a trial period for them to prove themselves. What it was supposed to be based on was past conduct, previous conduct. So effectively, with every court case, there has to be a finding. With this case, there was no finding. So Pump Court are treating the 18-month probationary period that was granted to Uber as unlawful. And that finding is in addition to actual bias, because we know that Magistrate Arbuthnot's husband had links with Uber or related companies to Uber. But if not actual bias, because it is the spouse, even though there's lots of case law out there to suggest that the spouse is actual bias as well. But if not actual bias, you've got perceived bias, haven't you? And as always, with a court of law, justice has to be seen to be done, doesn't it? If it isn't, what could be at play is perceived bias. So there's a lot to go on. But the big thing for me was, is I stated earlier, and it's a fact, the trade has never been properly represented by corporate lawyers. Now, the difference with instructing corporate lawyers as opposed to being represented by this weird neutral position by TFL or even McNamara's dusty old lot up there at Woodfield Road is that corporate lawyers tend to have the judge's ear, don't they? They tend to have the judge's ear, not through corruption, but by interconnectedness, by being involved in the mix of things. Now, before a JR is accepted, you have to show grounds in which you have gone for reparation with the opposing party. And so Pump Court, they wrote to Uber's people, and of course Philip Colvin, who is looking after Uber, wrote back robustly and said that the case is unmeritorious and shouldn't be seen. Now, unmeritorious, of course, is without merit. And if that is mentioned, and if it is upheld by the single judges, then that means a case cannot be brought again and you can't even appeal that. But instead, Justice Walker, who's overseeing the case at the moment, said it is with merit and deserves a hearing. Now, this was expedited. That shows the immediacy of it. That shows the urgency of it and the fact that they are keen for this to be heard. And that only comes via corporate lawyers, doesn't it? Where they have that interconnectedness within the business and crucially, they have got some gauge on the judges who will be overseeing the case. So this is a big deal. And when it goes back to the magistrates, it is no longer going back in and of itself. It is going back with corporate lawyers behind it, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on it in the industry as well as on peripheral areas outside the industry, certainly looked upon from a legal perspective, and Pump Court are considering it to be the case of the century. So this needs to be supported. What we are talking about here is the JR, and the JR will be the springboard to everything else. And they can't be 100% certain, because what lawyer is, that would be folly. But they're probably as certain and have a surety about them that I've never seen before. And certainly it can't be a foregone conclusion, but it is as near as damn it. And if we think this isn't needed, if we think we can forego this and wait for something else just to filter through, then we'll be waiting forever, or we won't be here. And so, as I say, I can only talk about my experience of Pump Court addressing what is considered as stakeholders. And I'll tell you something else. By the end of this meeting, every single one of them was agreeing to back this, because without us, there's no them, and without them, there isn't any of us. So believe me, if ever you needed to back something, this is it.
Morning, kids. Noddy Show. You all listen to your radios? Oh, what a little Noddy do today. He wakes up, doesn't he? Goes in the bathroom for a wash. Can you hear little Noddy? Filling the sink with water. Little Noddy's got a big sink. He said, oh, sod it, I'll have a bath. Then he goes downstairs for his breakfast. There's a milkman. Pours himself a cup of tea. Poured himself some toast. And a runny egg. Then he got in his car with his friend Gordon. Oh, Gordon. And he's going on his holidays to Scotty Bottleland. And he met a Scottish Red Indian. Hawkeye they knew. And he met a Scouse Red Indian. Hang on a bow. Went to the cake shop in Glasgow. He said, is that a custard or meringue? He said, no, you're not wrong, it's a custard. And he's driving through Scotland, his car stopped, and Noddy said, oh, my car won't go at all. Phone the AA man. He said, what's wrong, eh? Hey! Found there was no water in a rainy night, no. No water in the washy whoppers. No water in the headlamps. He said, what's wrong with my car, eh, man? He said, shit in the carburetor. He said, how often do I have to do that? Have a super evening. Good night. God bless. Thank you.
News now coming through from the column Inches. Jim Thomas asks, should TfL be forced to reimburse the owner taxi driver? Well, in short, yes. They are the ones that forced us to drive their prescribed vehicle, and they flatline the resale value of that asset overnight. So of course they should be forced to pay. Whether they will or not is a different matter. One thing Bob Oddie said that stands true. It isn't what the taxi trade wants, it's what they will stand for. Great news coming in from Spain. To book an Uber, you'll have to do it 6 hours in advance. I'd say delay it as much as possible. Considering the amount of accidents they've had recently, you take a risk whatever time it turns up, if it turns up. Not only is Mayor Khan accused of falsely blaming taxis for the poor air quality, he's also been accused of robbing the industry of £22 million, which was put aside to help taxi drivers move across to electric vehicles. Well, Mayor Khan still seems to have enough money to subsidise local authorities turning their boroughs into mini Hollands, so I say to him, stop your looting on our industry and give the money back. Tom Edwards, the BBC correspondent, has tweeted that taxi demos don't get covered because they are old news. Well, they must have been old news from the outset, because they never got covered. And RJ Paul on Twitter replied, is that why you don't report on Uber rapes, Uber serious collisions, Uber fraudulent charges, Uber terrorist drivers and Uber drivers with fake documents? Because it's a regular occurrence also, I see him bang to rights. But the BBC could start by reporting on the genuine reasons why taxi drivers are protesting in the first place. That's all from Bullet Points from the Column Inches, courtesy of Taxi Leaks. Just be aware there are a couple of demonstrations happening both today and tomorrow. They'll be in town. And of course, on Monday, the taxi protest will commence from 4 p.m. onwards. No doubt you'll be attending that. That coincides, incidentally, with the private hire demonstration, which, as far as I know, is happening outside Palestra. And we'll talk a little bit about that, because that is concerned with private hire being subject to the congestion charge from April of this year. I know a lot of cabbies out there are jumping for joy with ecstasy because private hire has now been burdened with a congestion charge, but this is my foreboding. If private hire have to pay the congestion charge, it makes them a very valuable partner to TfL. They're already valuable, and I think that's part of our problem. They're worth about 22 million to the TfL quaffers. This will double that to about 44 million. Now, corporate end of private hire has become very sophisticated with their lobbying, and you sure as hell know they will be claiming anti-competitiveness, inequality and all that. And because TfL doesn't seem to recognise the differential, which is the knowledge, and recognise us as being all the same, I think that will prevail, and in a very short space of time it will be the taxi trade that is also being burdened with the congestion charge. So think on. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that private hire paying congestion charge is one step closer to us paying it. Now, when you say, well, what else can be done? I think some regulation is in order. I'd rather have regulation and the two-tier system reinforced by that than them having to pay the congestion charge or being stealthed out of the market. And you've got to think on this. Anything that Uber lobbies for, and they lobbied for private hire to pay congestion charge, ought to be questionable, shouldn't it? Why did they lobby for it? They lobbied against a cap that would be the thing that helped both private hire and the taxi trade, even though I don't believe they should even be here in the first place. But as they are, there should be a cap on numbers. Then if they are lobbying for them to pay the congestion charge, because I assume they will think that'll be more people out of their cars, more people into their vehicles, that's the only thing I can think of, then we should question it anyway. That is my foreboding, and it's worthy of discussion, isn't it? Not only that, but looking at the demonstration, when I saw those taking part, and most were carrying a sign saying injustice. Now, anybody that is here legally and working legally, if they are getting below the minimum wage, that is certainly an injustice. But my grievance here is 60% of private hire, at least, did not work as private hire until Uber came along. And since Uber came along, they have felt that they have a grievance, and certainly against TfL, who are now implementing the congestion charge against them. Well, I want to say this. Not one of them, not one of that 60%, have given any consideration to the injustice, the disservice and the unfairness that they are committing against the licensed taxi trade. It's all very well having your own personal holocaust within 5 minutes, but have they ever thought for 1 second that what they are claiming against TfL, they are committing against our industry? No. That's almost it, lovely listeners, at the end of the show. But what I will do is I'll play you out with some of the messages that were left for last year's protest. I know I say last year, but it was just a couple of months ago. Because they are still valid and still pertinent and worth listening to. Absolutely, I hope everybody can attend next week. Mayfair mob mantra. One person is a nuisance. 100 is an army. Symbolically, you know what they mean. We need thousands out there. And wouldn't that be a game changer? Because evidently the political route hasn't worked, because we wouldn't find ourselves in the position we find ourselves now. Sustained protest. So the emphasis shifts over from us taking responsibility for what we are doing over to TFL to having to sort it out. And that's when things will change. If you need to get hold of me beforehand, you can get hold of me, sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk. You can go over to Facebook, London Taxi Radio, or DM me at London Taxi Radio, or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. I just want to thank a couple of people, and I thank everybody for downloading the podcast, of course, and listening to the live shows. And we plan to go live again in a couple of weeks, so I'll remind you about that. A big thanks to Mick the Brit and his broadcast. But not only does he do broadcasts on Friday night, so there's a new one released last night, which is worth a listen, and Cab Chat was released today also, or late last night, so that's worth a listen also, the first one of the new year. But Mick the Brit, he is the programme director. He is the one that keeps the stream running, and he says that you won't hear a repeated song in 7 days. So that's not bad going, is it? Go over to London Taxi Radio, because we stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All that is left for me to say, if I don't see you on Monday, which I hope I will, or I should, but before then, I'll see you out there on the mean streets. This is Sean Paul Day for London Taxi Radio.
Eventually became a licensed badge holder, you were able to use these streets to ply your trade.
Every driver who care about his job, every driver who care about his future and understand what is happening in under our industry should be there to defend it. We can see on the daily basis that Transport for London and certain councils taking more and more road space from us. I was reading today on the social media, somebody said that they're gonna put their hand into the pocket and they're gonna found the legal case against Transport for London, but they wouldn't like to inconvenience the public. And I'm saying, how long do you think that we have? Do you think the time is on our side? I don't think so. Until we win the legal case, the way things are going, we will be losing 30 to 40% of our road space, and we won't be able to do our job efficiently.
We can see presently is that all that training is being eroded by a regulator that sees us as a very different form of transport as opposed to what we should be seen as. We are and have always been integral to the transport network in London. We are part of Transport for London. And what TfL are doing is systematically removing us from the very streets that we trained to ply our trade. If anyone is of the thinking that things are going to get better, then we are certainly in trouble.
Hi, as a driving member of the general public who's often driving through London, I'd like to leave a message of support for the black cab trade. Recently, I've noticed that the way TfL seems to be organising road closures, roadworks, general management seems to be bizarre and to completely uncoordinated, to say the least. I can't believe that anybody in charge of this is actually aware of the chaos and total meltdown that they're causing within London. Thanks.
As a frequent user of London Black Cabs, I wholly support the opposition to TfL's incomprehensible policy on London road closures, road repairs, bus lanes and general traffic management. Without the Black Cab, London doesn't work.
All in all, it's just a little brick in the wall. You're just a another break in the wall.
Transport for London and any other official body are working desperately hard to restructure London's roads with one aim: so that traffic does not move. People who live, work and drive in London, all bodies are structured to stop traffic moving.
On London Bridge, we've got one objective, and that's where buses go, we go. There should be no half measures here. We want to use every bus lane that buses use. We are part of London transport system across London. We're the only wheelchair accessible trade, fully accessible, and TfL are taking away our right to drop people where they want to go.
So TfL seem to give total disregard to the way we work and what the public need. And to think that TfL, they set our fare, they tell us what payment systems we have to take, they tell us what vehicles we have to drive, and you stick a hand out to stop us, exactly the same as you do with a bus. So if TfL regulate the buses and tell the buses where they can and cannot go, then we should be exactly the same. Where the buses go, we should go.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of people have been behind this. You know, most reasonable people will think that's a reasonable thing. If buses and taxis are publicly hired vehicles, they should use the same bit of road space. And remember, these bus companies, they're not owned by the public. They're owned by all sorts of people, like the German railway and the French electric firm.
If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding?